Looking for clarity and confidence when it comes to decision-making for your business? You've come to the right place. You're now listening to the Atomic Business Coaching Podcast.
Thanks for coming back. In a previous segment, what we talked about is how to process your emotions. And Tom and I thought what would be a really good way to continue with that is how to use these emotions as advisors. Right, Tom?
Absolutely. Emotions advise like crazy.
So what we're going to do today is we're going to go through and talk about five different emotions and how once you have these or you've recognized them, what you can then do with them. Because that's what we're all about here at Atomic Business Coaching and in Project 2740 is taking actions. And we're going to help you to identify what actions you can take once you recognize this emotion. So we're going to talk about sadness, anxiety, fear, joy, and anger.
Awesome.
In the next section, we'll talk about sadness. All right, Tom. Now we're going to talk about sadness, right?
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, we mentioned in how to process your emotions, we mentioned how sadness is often associated with not having enough information or not having enough options. And sadness really causes people to go into a really cloudy space. Sadness brings a lot of cloud around things. So we want to tell you how to navigate through that. So go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, so that is exactly it. It's sadness usually stems from that place where we don't really have enough information, right? So when we don't have the information, we can't really take any action whatsoever. So what would be a very simple way to get over your sadness, which would start be looking at different areas where you can gain the information so you're no longer sad. So what are some of the ways, Tom, that people feel sad? Like what's the cause of sadness? I know it's that we don't have enough information, but what are some situations maybe that come up where people feel sad?
I think people feel sad often when they're working on, let's say they're trying to sell something or they're working towards something and it's not working out the way that they expect it to work out. And they had all these ideas in their head that if I do this, it's going to happen this way. And when it doesn't happen that way, basically when the plan doesn't come to full fruition, you start to feel this like sadness, like what is wrong with me that I can't execute on this? Or what's wrong that I can't do this? And it makes you feel sad and you go into a place that's very internal and it's because something didn't turn out the way you expected it to.
Right. So let's look at that one, right? If you're, you know, you really carried it out the way you planned it out and it did not work out and you feel sad. And again, as we said, it's because you don't have enough information and you're just like, you're upset. Like, hey, I planned everything out. Like, how come this is not working out? Right. Well, you actually do have information. You're just not looking at it. You have information now of why it didn't work out. Whether it's right or wrong information, you have information. And in those situations, when we feel sad, we have to look at, number one, the information that we do have that we're maybe glazing over because that emotion is taking over. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we can take a step back, take a breath, embrace the sadness, right? It's right. An advisor. All of these emotions, we don't want to push them down. We want to embrace them and say, okay, what is it telling me? Right. And what we want you to recognize, it's telling you that I don't have enough information.
Right.
So live with that for a second and step back and say, okay, what information could I derive out of being sad there? And start to look at, well, you know, I tried to, what were you saying? It was like a sale, right? They didn't do that because of, oh, they didn't have enough money. Okay, well, what can I do about that in the future? Tom and I had a client today that didn't have enough money. Their cash flow was down and they wanted to continue. We figured out that, okay, they want to continue. That was the information we had. They wanted to continue with us. They just couldn't pay. So we said, all right, since we have that information, now what action can we take? And the action that we took is we took this month's payment and we spread it out over their next 8 payments. They were thrilled. Their sadness literally in a heartbeat went away.
Yep.
Our sadness that we weren't going to have a client in a heartbeat went away. Right. It's because we had information and we can make a decision on that. So that's the first part. Look at what happened from your sadness. Mm-hmm. The second part is if you don't have any information from there, where can I go get that information? So Tom, what are some places people can go get information when they're sad?
Well, a lot of times it's just asking questions. It's asking questions of the person or the situation and trying to figure it out. You know, when you go and you gather that information and now you become informed, you start to change your whole mindset around the experience. And again, it's about going into that learner mindset and recognizing you have to move forward into a different type of action. And a lot of times sadness comes too from the need to let go. And, you know, like when an employee leaves you, right? An employee may decide to go and move on to another thing, and you get sad about it because it's a loss for you and you feel a loss. And when you start to feel losses, you get very sad. And that's the other place I want to make sure that people are clear on is that often sadness comes from a loss, and it's a loss of something, right? So maybe, you know, you worked on something and now it's done and it's over, and now you've lost that because the experience is done. Or, you know, you lose an employee because they decide to go somewhere else, and all of those things trigger this. But again, it's what information is available to you at that time, right? Right. Why did the employee leave? Understand why. Was it something that you could have done differently? Was it something that they really were just looking for that was not in the same place as you were? And it's really learning how to better let go of things. And let when we hold on to things too tightly, we become even more sad. So the letting go helps us to actually recover from the sadness.
Well, and that's, I agree with you that a loss definitely brings on sadness. And mm-hmm. I want to go to that one you talked about, the employee. Just like we had our client that switched from sadness to ecstatic, and so did we. It's the same thing here. Is I've had employees that were leaving me, and I'm like, I don't understand. I was sad because I'm like, they were really good. I did a really good job for them. They did a really good job for me. Everything seemed to be good, and I was sad that they were leaving. And when I uncovered and got the information of why they're leaving, I was actually very happy for them because they found a better spot for themselves that I could not provide.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It was literally just they made a move that was in the right interest of them and their family and their lives and their pursuit of that happiness.
Right.
So how could you be sad about something when someone's so happy? And it was just those little pieces of information I was missing. And in that situation, it moved. And this gentleman, his name is Ed. He worked for me. He was a rock star. I changed him to new positions. And because of that position, he ended up getting a job at a huge government organization. And today he's one of the leaders at that organization. I still speak to him. This was, man, 7-8 years ago this happened. I still speak to him sporadically, mm-hmm. I'd say probably twice a year, and we're both in such a good place. Now imagine if I would have just been sad and let it go. Right. I wouldn't have that relationship with that person anymore. Or if I did have it, I might have the wrong type of relationship because I didn't have the information.
Correct.
So it's all about gathering information, and you can gather that in groups like this where we work, one-on-one coaching. You can watch a podcast. You can read a book. You can ask the person who made you sad. You can go mm-hmm. on Google and say, you know, get more information on this thing. But it's about informing yourself. And what information does is give you knowledge that you now must take action on. And again, that's what we're all about here at Atomic Business Coaching. So in the next section, we're going to talk about anxiety.
So, all right, in this section, we're talking about anxiety. So what is anxiety? Anxiety, as we talked about in how to process your emotions, is simply having so many options available to you. And I often refer to anxiety as misdirected energy and deciding where we need to direct the energy next. And that's what we're going to talk about here, is how to figure out what option is best for you. So let's go, Adam.
Yeah. So, I mean, really, that's what we want to do is, again, it's an advisor. And if you get that anxious feeling, oh my gosh, you have to first recognize like, okay, that means I have way too many options. Okay. But now what do we do about that? So what do we do about that is try to first prioritize, okay? When we have options, and let's even say it's the same. Let's do something silly. I know I had someone recently have anxiety over buying a car.
Okay.
Right? And it was like all these different cars that they were looking at, and they're like, they couldn't make a decision. And it went from being a fun purchase for them. They were really excited to buy this new car to now it was this very stressful and anxiety-ridden mm-hmm. situation. And I said, well, let's narrow it down. What is the problem? What are the options that you can't really handle? And what is the things that you can take control of? And it first thing it broke down was to budget. And they were like, well, here's my budget. And I said, okay, well, what's the bottom of that budget? Because they were only looking at the top. I'm like, okay, so you have a top and a bottom. So we eliminated all cars outside of those boundaries. And it narrowed it down. And their anxiety started to shift a little bit. And it was like, well, what's the priority here? What are you really looking at this car for? You know, and for you, maybe it's, you know, you want all the creature comforts and all the technology. Or for someone else, like I'm looking at a new car, I'm going through a midlife crisis and I want a fast sports car that's loud. And like, so that's my priority, right? But I also have a priority for me where I have to make sure my two children can fit in the car. So I can't get a Corvette or a Ferrari or any of those things, unfortunately. So I have to find something that has that space. So as I start narrowing down what the options are, or as I did for that client, narrowing them down, you're only left with a few things. And then you won't relieve the anxiety completely, but you'll lessen it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that is the goal here, is we want to be able to make a decision. That's right. Why we're anxious, is because we can't make that decision because there are too many options.
Right.
So that's one of the ways. I know it's a silly way looking at it.
No, I think it's a great example of it, because, and you said something very critical there that I think people have to recognize, is anxiety is typically related to worry. It causes you to worry about something, which really means that you're feeling the loss of control. And you said, it's what can you control, right? And I always say to people, where is your seat of power? Because most of the time when you have so many options, you have to position yourself in that seat of power, and you can make so many different choices, and you have to find the one that best fits for you without worrying about making the wrong mistake. A lot of anxiety is born out of this fear of making the wrong mistake or making the wrong choice and consequently making a mistake. And what we have to do is remember that we can only control so much, but when we know what we can control, that allows us to reduce our anxiety, because most anxiety is just that loss of control. So I like how you put that.
Great. In the next section, we're going to talk about fear.
All righty, Adam. Let's talk about fear. I have my way about fear and talking about adrenaline, and I know you have yours, right? So why don't we start with yours?
Okay. So for me, fear is an acronym. I've used this for, probably like 2 decades. I don't know who told it to me. You've probably heard this before.
Yep.
But fear is an acronym. False evidence appearing real. I'll say it again. False evidence appearing real. We're usually scared about something because we've gotten the wrong evidence that this thing is actually happening, right? Or we have no evidence that it's happening. And that is what we are looking for, right? We're looking for proof that if I do this, I'll be safe. If I do this, it'll work out. If I do this, I'm going to be okay. And if I do this, I'll be successful. And you may not have that personal evidence. And that's where I really look at fear deriving from, is a point of like the unknown. Right. And the unknown should actually be exciting, right? Mm-hmm. If we can mitigate the risk. Mm-hmm. And what mitigating risk is, all risk is what's left over after we plan. So when you're scared about something, you can have a plan for it. So I'll give you an example of my son. He was very fearful of performing on stage in front of hundreds of people. He was asked to do this trumpet solo. Actually, it was with 3 people. They call it something different. One day I'm going to remember this name, but I should probably look it up, but it doesn't give me anxiety, so I don't need to find out that
information.
It doesn't give me sadness, so I don't need that information. So he was very scared, very fearful of going up on stage, and he's like, I'm so like nervous, Dad. I don't know if I want to do it. It's like, okay, well, have you done this before, Tyler? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, in front of how many people? He's like, I don't know, like 50 in the classroom with all the other band members. I'm like, okay, how did that work out? And he's like, fine. Why are you asking me? I'm like, so you have evidence that you can do this, right? He's like, well, yeah, but I've never done it in front of this many people. I'm like, okay, well, what can you now do about this? Like, what can you actually go ahead and prove to yourself that you can do? He's like, well, I don't know. I'm like, okay, how have you done something in the past that have scared the shit out of you? And he's like, well, I usually like take a minute and go by myself and take some deep breaths. And then I kind of get over it. I'm like, okay, so could you do that before you step on stage? He's like, yeah, I guess I could. I'm like, great. I'm like, and here's the other thing, which I'll add this to. Fear is a necessity for success. And the reason why is fear lets you know that the thing you're about to do actually matters. Okay. So you can reposition it that this thing matters, and maybe I don't have evidence on this exact thing, but I have evidence on previous things, or I can look out in the world and see the evidence of these. Right. You know, many people get scared of roller coasters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And have people died on roller coasters? Yes. The percentage of them, very low. Okay. So if you start to look at the real evidence of how many people have perished through a roller coaster ride, it's very, very low. Okay. And the risk is, yeah, there's some left over. That track could break. It could happen. And here's the other thing. When it comes to being fearful, you don't have to do it.
Right.
If you own your own business, you're here because you make all your own choices. So you don't have to do these things. It is a choice of yours. But you want to base it, in my opinion, on the correct evidence and not this false evidence.
Yeah.
100%. So what's your opinion on it, Tom?
Yeah. So like you said, like fear is essential to business and to success. It's also essential to life. I mean, we wouldn't have fear if, you know, if we didn't evolve to experience fear, right? I mean, when the cavemen were out in the world, when a lion or something came up to them, there was fear that triggered because it was a life or death situation. And fear usually, you know, creates that fight or flight mechanism for us. And there's a lot of things that happen during that fight or flight stage. And one of the things I always talk about in my adrenalized living terminology and thing that I've coined is that adrenaline is released when you are afraid. And there's a reason for why our bodies produce adrenaline and escalate it in that situation, because adrenaline actually constricts our blood vessels and increases blood pressure so that we can actually deliver more blood and oxygen to our brain, our eyes, and our muscles, right? And the whole point of it is to be able to think clearly, to see clearly, and to be able to act to get out of that situation that is a life or death situation. And what we try to do with our clients too is help to adrenalize you. And we want you to use the adrenaline that is coming from a fear response as a way of seeing clearly and thinking more clearly and being able to take more action. It's not just, you know, it doesn't just exist for the sake of living and dying. It exists for all things that we do so that we can move forward when we are facing an obstacle that's causing us to be afraid. But that fear, like Adam said, is necessary for our success and necessary for our business. And because it's necessary, that adrenaline is necessary to help us think, help us see better, and to help us act and take the action that we absolutely have to take in those moments when we are the most afraid. And it's because it does matter. And that's really, you know, like, I love the false evidence piece. I love the adrenaline piece, but it's so true.
So I think we can look at this from two ways on how can you use this emotion, right? Number one is you can look at it from a mental standpoint of like, hey, let me look at the evidence that I have for my life or outside there in the world. And then number two, we can look at it from a biological perspective. If we have been given this gift of like, now we have the tools to go ahead and use that chemical called adrenaline to go through this thing. I can focus. I'm a little bit stronger. I can see, you know, clearer. I can do these things. So when you feel that fear, it's your body saying like, oh my gosh, I can do this. I'm giving you the extra chemicals in your body to go do it. And then you can certainly take a moment to think like, I have done something like this before. I'm going to be okay.
And we talk about the fight, flight, or freeze, right? And very often I eliminate the freeze because I never want to be paralyzed by the fear. And I think that's where most people get stuck. And when you get stuck in your business and you get stuck on what you're working on to improve your business, it's typically, you have to reevaluate if fear is the root cause of that. And if fear is the root cause, you got to change that trajectory to using the idea of the adrenaline, where you take time to think through the problem and you focus on it and you try to see what all of the possibilities may be for you. And then you could actually take the action that you need to take.
Great. In the next section, we're going to talk about joy.
All right. So what is joy, right? So joy is this happiness that we experience, and joy is very healing for us. It's something that is necessary for us to be happy. And that emotion comes from a place of, you either have done something that you want to celebrate, or you are recognizing an achievement in your life, or maybe there's somebody in your life that has done something and they've succeeded and now you want to recognize them. What a lot of people do sometimes is when other people are succeeding and we're not, we eliminate our joy and we take that time, or we take that opportunity to really appreciate and pay homage to someone who is succeeding because of our own insecurities. And what we have to do is just turn that around, right? Like Adam mentioned in the sadness section, when his employee was leaving, he was sad, but he was also happy for his employee because he was moving on to something that really served him better. when we miss the opportunity to be grateful and experience and be happy for somebody else, we have to recognize that actually hurts us. So use your joy and be careful to make sure you always celebrate someone or celebrate yourself when you're experiencing that emotion. And Adam, what is it for you?
Well, before I go into what it for me, I want to go deeper into that, because that is how to that is how to make sure you embrace and have and keep joy. But what, let's say we have joy. Okay. Right. Now we have joy. How do we use that, Tom? How do we use that emotion of now I am joyful. I'm joyful. Yeah. How do I use that?
It's the biggest momentum, you know, it pushes the momentum forward. It helps you to continually act in a great way because you're in a positive mindset and you keep doing things. And that's when you experience the most clarity, is when you're happy. And that clarity produces the actions to continue the process, to continue the process, to really gain the momentum. And that's how I try to use my joy. Like, I'm so happy and so excited. Let's go. Let's keep going on this. Let's live in this moment and continue that trajectory forward so that we can actually continue to be successful, because there's that continuation of the joy that's needed. You have to continue and sustain that in some way.
So that dovetails nicely into the way I look at joy. And I'm going to put a negative spin on this, but it's useful, right? Because we're talking about how do we use it. Mm-hmm. So as Tom says, is joy can allow you to build momentum, right? And obviously, if you're excited about something, if you're joyful about something, you may want to do more of it. But when I look at joy, is it's a false future hope. Hmm. When we're sitting in that joy, sometimes you think everything else is going to be wonderful and it's just going to, everything's happening for a reason and I finally made it and it's all working out and everything. And it feels that way. Okay. But it actually is a false future hope, because you have to put the work in. You still have to put the work in. Mm-hmm. Joy is an advisor to tell you, hey, what you're doing works, or what you happened to you worked, and you should feel really good about it. And as Tom is saying, if it gives you the momentum to keep doing it, if you don't, you're going to go back down to sadness, right? Because you don't have the information, or you're going to go into anxiety because now you have too many options and you don't know what to do with it. So the key here is that, yes, embrace it and enjoy it, for lack of better words.
Right.
But you and get the momentum out of it. But make sure that you understand this is momentary. Okay. It's not going to last if you don't continue to put in the work that brought you that joy at first.
Yeah.
Right. And there's more work to do to enhance it or build upon that. So that's the way I look at it.
Yeah. I think that's a great point, right? Joy is very temporary, right? Sadness lasts much longer. Anxiety lasts much longer. Anger lasts much longer. Fear. When joy is the one thing that is so fleeting, and it really takes a lot of work, right? When you see someone that's so happy all of the time and they're always positive, you're like, how is that person always so positive all the time? Well, they're constantly filled with joy because they're finding the things to be joyful about, and they are creating those opportunities, and they're able to sustain that momentum of joy in their life. And it's a very fleeting thing for most people. And it's probably the briefest experience of all of our emotions. So you have to really capitalize on that moment, because that's what's going to bring you forward into the next. And hopefully you can sustain it.
Love it, Tom. All right. In the next section, we're going to talk about anger. So we're going to take a little different approach here. We're going to talk about anger, but I'm going to have Tom speak to you about some misconceptions behind anger. And then at the end of this, we're going to wrap it all up together to show you how to look at all the emotions. So, Tom, why don't you tell people what you've advised me on, many of our clients on, of what anger really is.
Yeah. So, you know, like I mentioned in the last course on how to process emotions, the anger is really rooted in anxiety and fear. Okay. A lot of, and we see this more with men than women, but more men will experience or exhibit their anxiety through anger. Okay. Because it's an uncertainty. It's an unknown. It's a overwhelming feeling of too many things going on. And we don't know how to always process that anxiety and that worry and that stress. So we become angry. And what anger really represents is there's some kind of misalignment somewhere. Like, I was working with somebody recently and they were trying to help me put something on my email, and I was becoming angry because it was messing up a lot of things in my system. And it was because I was really more afraid that I didn't know what was going to happen as a result of it. But I got angry first. And when I really examined why I got angry is because, oh, I don't know how this is going to impact me in the next 5 minutes. I don't know how this is going to impact me in the next 24 hours. And that's where a lot of anger comes from. It's from that fear. It's from that anxiety and that misalignment with everything.
And that's what I want to wrap this up with, is that sometimes when we have an emotion, we've given you ways to use it, but you actually may need to assess, is that the true emotion I'm having, or has it been misaligned in one way, shape, or form? You know, you may feel that anger and have fear, but actually you may have fear and it's because you're really sad, right? Because as we said, the anger, it could really be like, I'm scared of something. And the being fearful could mean like, oh my gosh, I don't have evidence. And then that can lead you into, once you recognize that, oh, now I'm sad because I don't have the information. The goal of us teaching you this and how to use your emotions is because they should be your advisors. But you have to be patient, you have to listen, and you have to go down. Instead of just solving this problem that you call emotions, how do we use these gifts we've been given by the universe, by God, by whoever you believe in, inside of our DNA for millions and millions of years, to then go take the next appropriate action? So imagine that. I'm so mad at something. Oh, wait a minute. I'm actually scared. And why am I scared? I don't have the evidence. Oh my God. Now I'm kind of sad. Okay, let's go get the information. And when you get the information, what happens when you get the information? You usually have joy. And everything is leading back to joy. Mm-hmm. What our end result should always be is joy. How do we get there? By using those other emotions, and have each and every one of these be your advisor on the next action you need to take, because that's where all of the emotions stem from. Action or inaction. It doesn't just magically appear. It's the action or the inaction. So, Tom, anything you want to add? Otherwise, we're going to wrap this one up.
No, I think you summarized it perfectly. I think that people have to remember that all of these emotions are connected. And if you don't recognize that they're all connected, and they're very intentional. Every emotion is intentional. Every time you feel something, there is a reason for why you feel that. And there's an intention for you to go and figure out why I have to do something, or what I have to change, or what I have to do to move on to the next thing so that I can get to joy. And they call it an emotional roller coaster for a reason, because there's, you know, the rise and then the fall and then the rise again and then the twist and the curve. And it's all those emotions acting on the same track, but that track changes so constantly that it's really hard to hold on to the exhilaration of the joy that comes from when you drop down and you come back up after that big drop.
So instead of having your emotions use you, go out there and use your emotions.